It's interesting what you're saying about my conversation with Alan McBride on the programme. And here's a text that really sums up the praise for Alan. And it says, listening to Alan McBride telling his story, and if more people in this, in inverted commas, open-air asylum that I call Northern Ireland had an attitude towards life itself and how we can live without hate and regress towards each other, then maybe this wee country could be an amazing place with some truly remarkable people. And here's the line that's ringing with me. I feel I want to hug Alan McBride. I want to give him a big hug. God bless all those involved in the Troubles, says Gavin, who's in North Belfast. And a lot of people just remarking and praising the strength. This word's coming through, Alan McBride's strength. That term comes through quite a bit. I want to speak to a gentleman who regularly phones us on the radio. And I know from conversations I've had with him in the past that he was there that day. And I've invited him to speak to us this morning. It's Gary Lenehan. Gary, 25 years on, I'm sure you remember clearly what you saw and what you did that day to help people.
Frank, it never leaves you. So it doesn't, you know, it's sights that ordinary people should never see unless, you know, paramedics and firemen are trained for it. And I don't think they ever get over something like it as well. You know, and I heard Jane talking about the smoke there, you know, seeing initially when it went off, Frank. And the seconds it went off, or immediately went off, it was black smoke. If you remember the photos that were seen, or the pictures that were seen of 9/11 with the smoke blowing up the road, well, that's what it was like. It was pure, pure black. I think that came from the roof because the building was over 100 years old. And nobody thought that it was Frizzell's Fish Shop. We were all running down the street thinking that it was the Berlin Arms pub. And it was only when we got through the smoke and we seen the Berlin, and nothing wrong with it. You look to the side and Frizzell's had disappeared. So it's and the sights and sounds and the smells, especially this time of year, they just never leave you. So you don't, and I heard you mentioning, you know, people from the Catholic community. Well, my shop would have been right on the fringe of the cordon in the week or so after it. And so it became a focal point. There was two tables outside the shop with books and condolences. So anybody coming to the bomb site would have left stuff in the shop. And I mean, there was as many Catholics, and I have to say there was as many Catholics. I know, and they came from a broad range. They came from the south of Ireland. They came from Ardoyne. They came from the Falls. They came from everywhere, as did people from the Unionist community. And the thing that the Catholics were saying was, what you put in your program, not in our name. This sectarian slaughter is not in our name. I always remember in the cards still in the thing, a wee pensioner coming over with a fiver, because that's all he could afford from the Falls Road. So, I heard you mentioning, you know, the death toll in that week, and it was horrendous. And each and every day we were reliving it. You know, you were trying to get over with what you saw and what you dug out. And, you know, there's 20 odd funerals that week, Frank, and the listeners, you need to focus in. This is the most important thing. 20 odd funerals. And only one had a burying gloves on top of them. So you'd 20-odd people, ordinary working class, decent people from both communities, slaughtered and murdered for nothing whatsoever at all.
Did it hurt you, the pomp and ceremony that was given to Thomas Begley?
Frank, honestly, see if I had a friend that committed a crime such as that there, who am I to tell Thomas Begley's family, or who am I to tell Thomas Begley's friends that they can't remember him? But I know certainly my point of view would be, if my friend, my best mate, or a friend of mine did anything like that, I'd want to remember him privately. And, you know, I'd always remember him, but I wouldn't want to do it in a way, especially the 20th anniversary. We stood at the bottom of Flack Street, Frank, in the 20th anniversary, and with the families holding a silent protest, while across the barricade there was a paramilitary parade. Now, if that had been a parade or a walk like the families were having 100 yards over the fence, then I don't think it would have been controversial at all. It was the fact that Alan McBride alluded to it, and Alan and I have became friends from the bomb. Him and I walked up the road last night, but he alluded to it, only that it was turned into a paramilitary show of strength, for want of a better word. You know, I don't think that it would have hurt the families and it would have affected the families as much.
Yeah, this is a reference to 5 years ago when they unveiled a plaque in his honour.
Yeah. And then even the in and around the funeral, you know, as I say, they were burying them all over Northern Ireland. Decent, hard-working people. Those two guys in the vineyard, the two brothers that was shot in the house, you know, the night of the bomb, the wee guy out trying to earn a living for his family, delivering hot food, and gets shot in the head. That wasn't in my, or anyone in my community's name. So it wasn't done in any of the family's name. And it brought, I mean, as I said, that's the horror that was brought to your programme today, 25 years later, and a week of funerals, only one had a burying glove and a flag on top of him, and the rest were just people out going about their business, earning a living for their family, or out shopping and socialising with their family. And the Morrison for family in particular from up here, the two of them out with a child buying a wreath for Minnie's dad and the wee girl's granda, and they get blew apart with a wreath in their hand.
Gary, I so appreciate you coming on the programme. Thank you very, very much indeed. It's heartbreaking listening to the memories of 25 years ago on the Shankill Road, and a reminder of the atrocities that happened in the wake of that, those sectarian killings that led up to the Grey Steel massacre as well. And indeed, then eventually the IRA ceasefire, as Jane Lockery was saying, was only a number of months away. Gary, thank you. Thank you to everyone who's been contributing to the programme this morning.